Well, we want to look into God's Word this morning, and I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter of the Scriptures. And maybe you are often turning to that. Myself, I often turn to Psalm 37 and read it and contemplate on these verses, time and again, what they have to tell us, what they have to instruct us. And so this morning we want to, our theme is the steps of the good man. I'd like to read, first of all, verses 23 and 24, because those two verses is where that theme comes from. And I'd like to read those and then pray. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Father, you are our Father. You are a kind and loving Heavenly Father. You're a God of power, a God of mercy, a God of grace. You're a God who is concerned for those who follow you and those, all humanity. You are concerned and you work in our lives. And Father, I thank you that you're that kind of God and we can turn to you and we have confidence that you hear us. And Lord, our walk with you is so important. So my goal this morning as I share the word of God is to encourage us all to have a more intimate, a more effective, a more personal walk with you. And I pray that the Spirit of God will help me to share that and that the Spirit of God will work in our hearts and lives. So we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to ask for an excuse in the first place. These are my reading glasses. I sat on my preaching glasses. So I might be doing this a lot because if I have them up here, I can't see you. Okay? Please forgive me for that. I hope it doesn't irritate you or bother you that I might be doing that. But, you know, it's one of those things. I ordered glasses. They're not here yet. So please forgive me for that. I love this passage of Scripture. I love it. And because as we look in this passage of Scripture, it sums up what God is doing in our lives. The whole passage, the whole of Psalm 37. I wish I had time to sit down with you and your families and individually and talk with you and spend some time with you. That's impossible. But if I did that, I may ask you some questions about, you know, what has directed you in your lives until today? What are some of the decisions you have made? What are some of the things that have taken place in your lives that have guided you, so to speak, to where you are right now in your lives? And we're all of different ages. We will not say, as Mr. Brooks just did this morning, the age of Mrs. Brooks. But I'm sure in her lifetime there are events and things that have taken place in her life and in his life that have guided them, and there they are today. There are events that take place in our lives. Could be graduation from college or high school. That's an event in our life. The first job. Maybe losing that first job. Your marriage. Maybe a child born into your household and that child dying at an early age. Tragic events in our life and in the history of our nation have touched you. For me and for many of us here, our salvation, the day we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. That was a moment in our lifetime. That was a moment that began to direct us. And then after that, perhaps it was your baptism or some other event, spiritual event in your life. And you made that decision, or that decision was a part of your life. And because of that, you are where you are today. We know in life we have a lot of frustrations. There are a lot of things that take place. And yet, as we think about those things, as we think about how we are walking, the steps we take in this life, the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We can call the events in our lives and some of the decisions we make and the direction we go, steps of our life. We can call them that. Steps, of course, in this passage is used figuratively. It's talking about the course of my life. The steps of the good man, the course of the life of the good man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Now, I have the Old King James, and if you look in it, and I don't know, I noticed there was another translation being read from this morning. I think that's the ESV or whatever, but I have the Old King James, and if you have a King James, that word good is italicized. And so it was not in the original text of the scripture. But we get the idea that that should be there from verse 21. In Psalm 37 and verse 21, we read, "The wicked borrows and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives." The good man is the righteous man, the one who is trying to live accordingly in righteousness. The general idea here is that that man, that righteous man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. And so there's no mistakes in the steps that God leads us to take. And I like that second phrase tacked on to that first part of verse 23. "And he delighteth in his way." He delights in his way. Now, for years, I've contemplated that second part of that phrase. He delights in his way. And you know, you can read this two ways. That God delights in the way of the righteous man. You can read it that way. And that is supported with other scriptures. I mean, if we look over in Psalms chapter 18 and verse 19, please. Psalm 18 and verse 19, we see that idea. "He brought me forth also unto a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." He delighted in me. And so we can have the idea there that God delights in my way. But also, which is not absent from here, is that I delight in God's way. His steps, the way he leads me, I delight in that way. Psalm 119 and verse 35, the scripture says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandment, for therein do I delight." I delight in the way of God. I delight in the way of the scriptures. I delight in the way of righteousness. But we take steps. And those steps are individual steps. And as we walk in the way of the Lord, they have, we can say, long-term ramifications or eternal ramifications. Most of the steps we take are quite daily, right? We wake up in the morning, we decide what time we're going to wake up, what we're going to eat for breakfast, what route we're going to take to work, and all those things. But then there are others that set our direction. I want to call them the defining steps of our lives. What are the defining steps of our lives. Those decisions, steps that we go through in our lives, or they could be experiences, then our decision to following an experience that set the direction for the days, the months, and the years which follow. We make decisions. We decide which way we will go. What do we do after a decision, action, or event that is a defining step? Most, if not all, writers of Scripture in one way or another went through events in their lives that is reflected in their writings. David is certainly one who reflected his life in his writings. And so what I see here is the advice of David. David gives us advice in Psalm 37. And this advice is very valuable to us. In Psalm 37 and verse 25, David says this. He's an old man. I have been young, and now I am old. And so David is looking back on a life of steps that he has taken. And he is now giving us advice on how we should walk and work. You know, the life of David is found in 1 Samuel 15 all the way up through 1 Kings 2. Think about David's life. Fields and flocks, being anointed, the king's singer, Goliath, his good friend Jonathan, the hunted man, the desert wanderer, the respectful citizen, the victorious soldier, the king of Jerusalem, him who desired to build God's house, the Davidic covenant, his two sins, Bathsheba and Uriah, Nathan's confrontation, several wives, his kids' trouble, death of children, Absalom's force, war, the census of the population, and his appointing of a son, Solomon. Think of that life and think of the steps that David took. It seems he did and had it all. His experience or his decisions that he made set the direction for the days, the months, and the years which followed his life. I like this psalm because if you look at it, Psalm 1 and 2 are like the introduction, and the last two verses, Psalm 39 and 40, or as it were, a conclusion. I'm going to just read 1 and 2 and then jump down to 39 and 40 and you'll get the gist of that. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 39, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." One can read these two passages and get the gist of the contents of this particular psalm. There's a swinging of the description of the wicked and the workers of righteousness. It swings back and forth throughout the entire psalm. David introduces in the very first verses evildoers, workers of iniquity. And he simply describes them as those are doing opposite of good. David was well aware of his own evil activity. He knew his own decisions that led him down a path I don't believe he ever intended. 2 Samuel 12 and verses 7 through 12. I want to read that. Nathan came and he confronted David with the sin of Bathsheba and Uriah. He used that famous parable of the rich man, the wealthy man, who had all the flocks. And out of those flocks, he could have chosen the choicest of lambs. But he saw his neighbor's single lamb over there, and he went over and took that lamb to serve. Nathan gave David that parable. And verse 7 of 2 Samuel 12, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You remember, David said he should be punished fourfold. And Nathan revealed that. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I appointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine house, and I will take thy wives from before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. A step of David. The scripture says here, down in verse 10, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? David thought nothing of God's word at that point in time. He thought nothing of the commandment of the Lord. He was in a state of rebellion. So David gives us, in this passage, Psalm 37, the way in which we walk, the steps of a good man, and that should be the righteous man, the saved man, and the steps of the wicked and sinful and evil man. I see this passage as the ABCs of the blessed life. I mean, in this passage is everything we need to know about walking a blessed life. In fact, David used an acrostic. There's 40 verses. I believe there's 22 letters and the 22 consonants in the Hebrew alphabet. So what David did, every verse or two, he started with a letter of a Hebrew alphabet, and he went down through, and he gave us principles to live by. And I believe he wanted us to memorize them. Now, I wish I could say I memorized this passage, but I've never memorized it. But David wanted to be so that we would learn what he has experienced himself, that we would learn from his errors, that we would learn from what he experienced in his life. Psalm 37 has both instructions for advancement and blessing and warnings about pitfalls. And it indicates that God is present in all and works in the lives of the righteous. And we know that a man's righteousness and goodness comes through salvation. Time will not allow me to take all these 40 verses and develop them. It's just impossible. But we can talk about verses 23 and 24 and show how we can build upon those things. Now, David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I love this phrase, though he fall. Though he fall. He will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I mean, when you see that phrase, it makes me realize my weakness. My weakness. Though he fall. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 says, for the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall and to mischief. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, Micah said, when I fall, folks, we have to admit our weaknesses and our frailties, even in this Christian life. My question today is, what happens after a fall? What happens after a fall? We need to get up and take the steps the Lord has ordered. Ordered steps are sure steps. One step at a time, we follow. And out of the few verses here and a little bit of time we have left, I want to talk about three steps that we need to make. Step of calmness, step of commitment, step of correction. You'll notice at the very outset of this passage, we find a step of calmness. He tells us not to fret. And fretting can be defined as a slow burning anger or jealousy. In verse 1 and verse 7 and verse 8, he tells us to fret not. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. And then verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fretting is a slow burn. It's a slow burn. In a sense, we in San Pedro, where we work, we see people making charcoal. Anybody ever been involved in making charcoal? You use it, right? You go down to the grocery store and you buy it. You know how it's made? Well, in Africa, they'll take these long planks or all kinds of wood, scrap wood. You know they burn mahogany out there for charcoal? But they take this wood and they pile it up, and they will take sand and dirt mixture, sometimes sand and sawdust mixture, and they bury it. They bury it. They bury a pile of wood. And then when they light the fire to it, they want a slow burn. If it burns too fast, everything will become ashes. If it's a slow burn, something that takes days, maybe weeks, to burn through the entire thing, well, the wonderful mahogany is no good for anything in construction or building, but you can take it over to your your barbecue, put it in there, and grill your hot dogs. It's a slow burn. It takes what is strong and it makes it weak. It takes what is useful and makes it unuseful. And that's what this word fret is talking about. It's a slow burn. It's like jealousy. It festers within us. It continues to destroy us from the inside out. And he tells us, fret not thyself because of the evil going on around you. Fret not thyself. The day in which we live, we can be fearful of just about everything. What's taking place in the Middle East, what's going on in the U.S. with our upcoming elections, we can be very fearful and think, what is going to happen? He's telling us to fret not. And it's not because I am strong, it's because God is present in all the works in the lives of the righteous. We don't need to look at the wicked and the ungodly and think they have an advantage over us. God is going to work out his will through us if we go forward doing his will, taking those steps, and not fearing the wicked. Not fearing what can take place around us. And that's hard. Joan Watkins, who is a missionary and just retired, I think, beginning of this year, probably been on the mission field for 50 years. And she used to say this, safety is not the absence of danger, but safety is being in the presence of the Lord. Fret not, fear not. And so we need to be calmly but assuredly taking the steps to walk forward in our Christian life, in our walk with God, and not being so concerned about the evil that turns around us. Step of calmness. I like also the beginning part of chapter 37 here. I call it a step of commitment. A step of commitment. Verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. A commitment to God. Now, I'm not talking about coming to church. What is our commitment to God on a personal level? How close are we truly to God? That's something that's cultivated, and you and I need to make a conscious effort, a conscious step to draw close to God. If not, our heart will lead us astray. We've had some problems in the past few years on our field. In the last 5 or 7 years, 4 men, pastors and missionaries that I've worked with, have made decisions that destroyed their ministry. That's a sad thing. Myself, as I look at that, I examine myself and ask, how did they get there? How did they get to the point where they would abandon all that the scripture has said and get to a point where they would fall and destroy their ministry? How did they get there? And I want to suggest to you, once we start losing a desire to being with God, once we lose that, then so many other things can come in their lives and take that place. I tell the men that I work with, you know what? I can fall too. I tell our pastors that I work with, I can fall too. You look at me as a missionary, but I can fall. I think admitting that I can fall is one of the greatest things that I can say to myself to make sure I have a relationship with my God on a personal level, because I realize I truly do need the help. I truly want to delight in him. I truly want to rest in him. I truly want to be close to him so that I don't follow suit and fall. A step of commitment, trusting in God, delighting myself in God, resting in God, drawing close to God. And so David, we just read how he fell. And I believe in his latter life, as he's looking back as an old man, he looks at that. He looks at the entire life before him. And he's telling us here how we can avoid such actions in our lives. Do you love being with the Lord in the morning or in the night? You love talking with him. You love getting up and reading His Word and let the Word of God speak and just fill your soul. Not because you have a Sunday school lesson to teach or not because you have a message to preach. Do it for you. That's what I tell our men. We need to have God close to us. And the way I get God close to me is to take that step close to Him. And He is there. So David would encourage us to really commit to God, walk with Him. And lastly, just very simply, a step of correction. You know, he said here in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Verse 27, he said, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. We need to understand when we're on the wrong path. We need to understand when we need correction. Now, guys, you know, we don't need any help, right, when we're driving down the highway. We don't need a GPS. We don't need that. We don't need to stop and ask someone, right? No, we say in our heart, I've got this all figured out. And our wife will say to us, don't you think we ought to stop and ask? You know? Sometimes we're lost and we don't know it. And sometimes we are in need of correction and it's not so obvious. He tells us to depart from evil and do good. Now, evil's pretty easy to define in many cases. It's an action, a word, a work that is quite clearly condemned. And there are verses in here that give us this, the description of evil. Look at verse 21. The wicked borroweth, payeth not again. Look at verse 32. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. So evil so often is quite obvious. Anger is not so obvious though, is it? Anger, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger goes undetected most of the time. Often because of anger, we react wrong, we decide wrong, we go wrong, simply because of anger. Oftentimes, other people can see the anger in us, but we can't see it in ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves, and we need daily examination. I'm telling you that because that's what I need. Daily examination. There are so many things that come into our lives, and we need to look into ourselves and examine and say, is this pleasing to the God I serve? So we have these three steps. The step of calmness, fret not, fear not. The step of commitment, daily committing myself to God and walking close to Him. And the step of correction, that is daily examination of our lives. One final step that is mentioned in this passage, it's written right at the very end. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. As you look at this word salvation, it's a We can say it's a church, it's a word of our vocabulary of our church. Salvation. And here in this context, the salvation could be temporal, salvation from a situation. It could be spiritual, a changing of my life. And we could apply it to our eternal salvation. We could apply it to that. The first step that anyone here would need to make is that step of salvation. In my life, God has taken me from that step and led me to each and every other step that I have taken. I would encourage you this morning, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, to take that step of salvation, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. We could look through this entire passage. David, as I said, he swung from the wickedness of man to the righteousness of those who follow God. And so there is a wickedness in this world. There's a sin in our lives. We need to be saved from that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you because you are the one who leads us. And Father, we want to be pleasing in thy sight. As believers here today, we want to be pleasing in thy sight. I pray that this short meditation may be a benefit, that the Spirit of God would use it in the lives of this church family here. But Lord, should there be someone here without Christ who's never accepted Christ, accepted the salvation that you give us, I pray, Lord, today that they might come to know that the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, may you bless your word. May you use it in our lives. We pray and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.